You will turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, look with me at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, we didn't read it, but this chapter leading up to this verse, our Lord had encountered some scribes and Pharisees, and they were seeking a sign. He told them there's one sign that's going to be given. That's the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Salvation of the Lord. These men, I don't need to tell you, I'm sure you all probably know, most of you probably know, the scribes and Pharisees were the religious people. But here's the problem. They had not so learned Christ. They learned the scriptures, but they hadn't learned Christ. They hadn't learned anything. Our Lord went on to tell his disciples right before verse 13. He warned them of the scribes and the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, "Beware of the doctrine that they're preaching." Now that's important. I brought this message essentially before, and I hadn't even looked at what was before it. Shame on me. And I wanted to mention that, prefacing this message, because the message is going to deal with who Christ is, who Jesus Christ is. All right? Anytime we stand and preach, anytime we come to worship, we need to hear who God is. Right? Well, these scribes and Pharisees, they were religious, but they didn't know Christ. And the same thing is going on today. All right? So our Lord, right after that, he asks his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What do men say about me?" Now he already knew. He knows everything. He knows our every thought. But nonetheless, look at verse 14. They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." We read that many people, as our Lord walked this earth, thought he was a prophet. The men in John 6 that wanted to make him king, they thought, well, this is the prophet that the scripture said would come into the world. The Samaritan woman that our brother just read about, our Lord started talking to her, started telling her some things that really blew her mind, and she was wondering, how does he know this about me? She said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Now, I want to say this concerning the scribes and Pharisees. Some of them may have, but based on Scripture, they did not even believe him to be that. And here's why. They said, "This man receives sinners. He eats with them." There was a Pharisee, I believe his name was Simon. He entreated the Lord into his house. And there was this poor, pitiful, sinful woman that crept into the house. And this Pharisee, he looks at the Lord Jesus and he said, "If you were a prophet..." Actually, you know what? I think he thought it. I think it says he thought this. He thought, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is, that she's a sinner. She's touching him. If he's a prophet, if he were a prophet, he wouldn't have anything to do with this. I said I believe he thought that because if I remember right, the Lord answered physically the man's thoughts, if I'm recalling correctly. Some think he's a prophet. Some didn't even think that. All they saw him to be was an imposter. That's all they saw him to be. Thought he was a phony. He said in John chapter 8, talking about Abraham, they said, "Abraham's our father." He said, "Abraham's not your father. If he was, you'd do the worst of Abraham." But you're seeking to kill me. And Abraham didn't do that. But he told him, he said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. And he was glad. Boy, they had a problem with that. They said, you're not even 50 years old, and you mean to tell us you've seen Abraham? They accused him. This is God. They accused him of having a devil. Alright? Whom do men say that he is? Now look at verse 15. And they said, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, prophecy. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks of him. It doesn't matter. In another occasion, we read, what think ye of Christ? All right? What do you think of him? Who do we believe Jesus, the Son of Man, to be? Now, I know people love to throw around the name Jesus like they couldn't care less, like it's the most meaningless name that there ever was. I want us to ask ourselves this question honestly, okay? Do we reverence His name? Can we honestly say, oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds? There's no other name like His name. I pray that we truly, truly feel that way. Because our Lord said, what comes out of our mouth is directly from what goes on in our heart. So I take that to mean how we speak of Him manifests what we really think of Him. How I speak concerning Him. And you can tell it based on the message I stand to preach. How we speak of Him makes obvious what we think of Him. Alright? So anybody that doesn't care about His name, throws His name around like a byword, obviously doesn't have very high thoughts of Him. God, help us all. Honestly, Lord, help us. Don't let us take Your name in vain. And not only that, this world, this religious world, most of what is called Christianity, they use the name Jesus, use it a lot, and they'll acknowledge some things. They'll acknowledge He was a prophet. They may acknowledge He's even king. I don't know. Different people acknowledge different things, but most people will acknowledge He was a good man. Most will acknowledge He was a great man. Most would acknowledge He set a great example, perhaps the best example. They'll acknowledge He performed miracles. He did some wonderful things. But He did much more than all of that. All of that is true. But He did much more than that. They'll turn right around and say things like this: God loves you. Jesus died for you. God wants you to be saved. Wants you to live for Him. If that's what's coming out of our mouth, we think so lowly of Him. I can't stress to you just how lowly that is. Ultimately, men and women, believe Jesus the Son of Man to be a failure. And here's why. If God's love isn't enough to save me, then His love means nothing. If Christ's death, we mentioned it a minute ago, pouring out His precious blood, precious to God the Father, if He poured out His precious blood to save me, redeem me, and I'm not going to be redeemed, the day is going to come and I'm going to wind up in hell, His blood was as useless as my blood. And that's what people believe about Him. That He tried, He wants, He hopes. God's not willing that any should perish. I rejoice in that because He's talking about the us. He's talking about His elect. Those whom He chose in Christ, whom the Spirit quickens by His power. Whom Christ died to redeem. Praise God, He's not willing that any of them should perish. He's long-suffering to us. And in His time, we're going to repent and believe on Him. Because our salvation is not according to us, it's according to His promise. Who do we believe Him to be? Did He save us? You know, anybody say, oh, Jesus came to save us? Did He? Or did he not? Did he save everyone for whom he died and poured out his precious blood? Or did he not? It's all or nothing. Either he saved us or he didn't. All right? Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. What more is there to say? Thou art the Christ, the Holy One of Israel, God's anointed, God's Messiah, the Savior. That's who you are, Lord. You're the Savior of your people. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. And Lord, you shall. That's who you are. Is that who we believe Him to be? Lord, God Almighty. That's who He is. That's who He declares Himself to be. And that's who He is. Not trying to be Lord. He doesn't want to be Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. And we better bow to Him as such. By God's grace, we will bow to Him as Lord. I love what Peter declared at Pentecost, when God used His word, His messenger, to save, I believe it was 3,000 souls. What did Peter say? He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, know this and be certain of it, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. That's a saving message, isn't it? Man and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, believe on Him and confess Him joyfully. Thou art the Christ. If there's nothing else we take home with us, I pray it's this. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. In John chapter 6, I mentioned men that wanted to make Him king and said, oh, well, He must be a prophet. They followed Him very briefly, for non-spiritual reasons. Well, then when our Lord started declaring unto them spiritual things, He started preaching the gospel to them, telling them some hard sayings. Hard sayings. That's what they said. They said, this is a hard saying. They went back and they walked no more with Him. I pray it's not a hard saying to us. He asked Peter, He asked His disciples, will you also go away? And I love Peter's response. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where on earth are we going to go? We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ. He said, you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? He's the Christ. All right? Jesus, the Son of Man, is Jesus, the Son of God. 100% man, 100% God. That's who He is. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, Peter, you are a blessed man. You're blessed beyond measure. Why was he blessed? Because he knew who Christ was. He knew Christ. He had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, people like to talk about their relationship with God. He made a relationship with Peter. He chose Peter. He died to save Peter. And he arose, came to Peter. He said, you go tell Peter. Tell my disciples, and you make sure to tell Peter. And then the Lord went to Peter himself. You know, I go fishing, and the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? He tried his faith. He made Peter fall flat on his face. Lord, 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 you know I love you. You know everything. He said, you go feed my sheep. That's what he's doing. Thou art the Christ. And he said, Peter, you're blessed. And I love this. The word blessed here means well off, happy. If we know Christ, if we know Him, if we know Jesus, the Son of Man, to be Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, we are blessed. Oh, we just don't have any idea how blessed we are. We're happy, aren't we? And it ain't talking about a temporal happiness. This, like I mentioned in the first message, Peter knew, shortly I must put off this earthly tabernacle. Soon we must. He's talking about an eternal happiness. If we know Christ, when the judgment comes, it shall be well with us. There's a verse that says, it shall be well with the righteous. We're righteous in Christ. We're the righteousness of God in Him. That's what He made us to be. And we're happy. I'm happy now. A little stressed, but happy. I feel y'all can probably relate. Can you get a little stressed sometimes, don't we? Peter said we're not cast down. We're not forsaken. We may get distressed. We may be perplexed. But at the end of the day, our brother said it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Because God's on His throne. Christ is His people. He's all. Christ is all. We're going to be with Him. The day is coming. If we know Christ. Now, I want us to understand the importance of knowing Him. Because not everybody knows Him. He said, some say you're Jeremiah, Elijah. Not everybody knows who He is. I want to show the importance of this. Turn back to where our brother just read, John chapter 4. Verse 25. This woman was lost. Our Lord had just told her, you worship, you know not what. He called out her sin because when God saves us, that's what He does. He makes us know what we are. Sin. And then she perceives He's a prophet. She shows her religious side, says, well, our fathers worship in this mountain, and so on. He said, woman, you worship, you know not what. Now look at this. Verse 25. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. I am. Whom shall you say sing? I am. Before Abraham was?
I am.
That's who He is. This is God we're talking about. She had her sin. She had her religion, just like everybody around us does. She knew the name of the Messiah. She knew Messiah was coming. She didn't know He was standing right in front of her. I am. We know what our Lord said in John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that we know Him. Paul said that I might know Him, win Him, be found in Him. And this woman, from that moment on, her life would never be the same. Never be the same. Look at verse 27. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now look what she did. The woman then left her water pot, picturing her works, just left it all behind. She went there for physical water. Our Lord had told her, whosoever drinketh of this water in your bucket here is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he's got to get it. And He is the water of life. This water shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Whosoever drinks of this water is never going to thirst again. That's what He told her. And even when she was lost, she said, give me this water. But she didn't understand until right here when He said, I am. Here she goes. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She had a message. Now look at this, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We won't read it for time's sake, but if you go on down reading, she went out to the city and she declared that glorious message. You know what happened as a result of that? I don't know how many, but it appears to be a large number. Our Lord compared it to the harvest. Okay. They come. She said, come. They came. They saw the man. They asked Him to dwell with them for 2 days. And He did. And they had a confession. I should have written it down. I don't remember exactly where it is. But they believed because they heard Him themselves. They said, we heard your saying, But we believe because we heard Him ourselves. They heard Him. You know what that woman was and all those people were who heard Him and believed on Him? They were blessed men and women. Just like Simon Bar-Jonah. Because they knew Christ. It had been revealed to them that Jesus is the Christ. That's the only way we're going to know Him. Is by divine revelation. We can read all about Him, but until He reveals Himself to us, till He says, let there be light, we don't see Him. We don't know Him. We don't need Him. We don't believe in Him. But He came to that woman. He told her what she did, all things that ever she did. He told her who He is. I am. Praise His name. And Peter, look back at our text in verse 17 here. Our Lord tells Peter why He's blessed and how He was blessed. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Said Peter, it has been revealed to you by my Father who I am, and that's why you're blessed. Just think of when the Lord called Peter. He went to Peter fishing on a boat with his brother. He went to James and John fishing on the boat with their father. He said, you think of how glorious this is. He said, follow me. And immediately they forsook all and followed Him. That just sounds, when you just read it, I mean, it honestly sounds ridiculous. That they would just up and leave everything and follow Him. I'll make you fishers of men. But when we understand who it was that was calling them, we understand, don't we? When we understand that's God calling, and God calls with an effectual call, I may say follow me, and nobody follows me. And that's okay. Nobody probably should. But when Christ says follow me, we follow Him. God's grace is irresistible grace. We can't resist it. Try all we may. You think Saul of Tarsus wouldn't have tried to resist if he could have? That man was so full of himself. He had his way, earthly speaking. He did what he wanted to do. He was a man on a mission. And then God speaks to him. God knocks him off his horse. God puts him in the dirt. God blinds him. God did that to him. What do you say? Who art thou, Lord? What would you have me do? Whom do we say He is? It's the Christ. He's God. Paul went on to say this concerning His salvation, how He came to be a believer, how He came to know Christ. He said, when it pleased God. I was out doing what I wanted to do, persecuting the church, persecuting the Lord Jesus Himself. That's what He said. Why persecutest thou me? Paul was out doing his thing. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in me. Here's what He said about it. He said, immediately, just like Peter and the other disciples, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. God must save us, and God alone. And when He saves us, we're saved. When He reveals Himself to us, we don't have to confer with flesh and blood. We don't have to go home and think about it. When He reveals Himself to us, Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, man. I look back in our text, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Who's our Lord talking about? Is He talking about Peter? Or is He talking about Himself? Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Well, the Catholics believe He's talking about Peter. Literally, they made him their first pope. I didn't even know that. I looked it up. As foolish as that is, we know better. They think that, erring, not knowing the Scriptures, resting the Scriptures, as Peter tells us about in chapter 3, to their own destruction. You know, when Peter on the Mount, when he suggested to the Lord to make 3 tabernacles, if Peter were the rock, the Lord would have said, let's build a rock for you. Or let's build a tabernacle for you, Peter. But Peter wasn't the rock. Peter wasn't the rock. God caused them to fall down on their face and rise and see no man save Jesus only. Because He's the rock. The only rock. The rock of our salvation. Peter was an apostle, yes. But he was a sinner saved by God's grace just like you and me. The message is this: Thou art the Christ. He's the rock. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. All throughout the Scriptures, a rock, and even in our English language, a rock is something, it's a foundation. It's you drop your anchor, hopefully it lands on a rock and you're steady. Your boat doesn't take off. A rock is something we can rely on. It's something we can trust. When you build a house, you need a foundation. You need a sturdy, stable rock. Well, look here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Christ is the living stone. Christ is the sure foundation. He's the rock. Isaiah 28:16, I believe. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. That's what he's saying here. Christ was undesired of men. Disallowed indeed of men. Men did not want him. None of us wanted him. But what's it say? It says he was chosen of God and precious. Don't you love that in Isaiah 42 where we read, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delighted. Christ is the elect. And God elected a people in Him. He's the firstborn. He's the head. We're in Him. We're complete in Him. God the Father loves Him and only Him and those in Him whom He put in Him. Look here, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones. Notice, Christ is the living stone, but in Him we're lively stones. Look at that. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient or unbelieving, whereunto also they were appointed. And I would get hung up on that right there, the last part we read, whereunto they were appointed. God doesn't elect them to hell, He elects them to salvation. And what we need to understand here is, all God has to do for me to perish is let me have what I want. Well, then whose fault is it? No one's but mine. We didn't want Him. We said, no, away with this man, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, give us that murderer. So if we perish, it's our own fault. But unto you, therefore, which believe, unto you, therefore, which have obtained like precious faith, He's precious, isn't He? Is He precious to you? Pray He's precious to all of us. Who do we say He is? Thou art the Christ. Precious. David said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Oh, He was precious to David, wasn't He? He was precious to Peter. I pray He's precious to each of us. I mentioned my little daughter Hazel in the first message. I pray God would reveal Himself to her in His time. Nothing more important. I pray one day He'll be precious to her too. To us and our children and our loved ones. Precious. You know, the unsearchable riches of Christ are precious, more precious than gold. You know, we grow up, we seek to get out in the real world, go get a job, be successful. I believe I heard Henry say this once. Talking about people going off getting education. He said, people should go off and get all the education they can. I'd rather be smart than be dumb. He said, I'd rather be dumb and know Christ than be smart and go to hell. I'd rather be the poorest beggar in this earth and know Christ than perish with all my riches. Is He precious to you? Pray He's precious to us. Believing on Him, we shall not be confounded. It means we're not going to be ashamed. When we stand before God in the judgment and we plead nothing but the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, not going to be confounded. Not going to be ashamed having put all our trust in Him, the Christ. Song we sing, the church is one foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Lord Jesus Christ. And upon Him, upon this rock, upon Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, God will build His church. Look back in our text. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon Christ, thou art the Christ, I will build my church. Now we know that the church is not all mankind. I don't need to stress this. We know in Peter's epistles, who he was writing to, the elect. We know Paul writing about the church in Ephesians chapter 5, talking about marriage. He said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. God prepared a bride for His Son, the Lamb's wife. That's who the church is. The strangers scattered throughout till God calls us into the fellowship of Christ. That's who the kingdom of heaven is. It's God's people, the bride of Christ. The fold of God. There's going to be one shepherd and one fold. Right now, Him also I must bring. He's calling us out one by one to Himself, to His fold. And I love this. He said, I will build my church. If God wants me to be saved, I am going to be saved. It's as simple as that. Mention the bride. You know, sometimes people get engaged and they call it off. Sometimes marriage is end. It's not so with God. Will God have His bride? Is that going to end in divorce? If it's up to me, it would. If it was up to me. You know, it's a shame when it happens, but it's understandable that we get on each other's nerves, isn't it? Really, if we know anything about ourselves, we can understand people hating each other. It's sad. I hate to see it, but I understand it. I really do. But God's going to have His bride. You can hang your soul on that. He will have His people. Every single one. And right now, every single day that this earth is moving, God is calling out His people. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, what are You doing? There's a psalm that says He's working salvation in the midst of the earth. That's good. Remember that. Right now, there's some things troubling me. He's working salvation. And that's all that matters. God save me. Now, concerning Peter, Peter wasn't the rock upon which God would build His church, but Peter was a rock, we just read it, a living stone, that God would use to build His church. Peter was an apostle. He was a preacher of Christ and Him crucified. He declared Christ. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. God used him to build his church. But he wasn't the rock upon which God would build his church. Do we understand the difference? I like what Paul said. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Preachers don't save people. God saves people. He uses preachers to do it. But we're nobodies. He's everybody. He's everybody. He's the only somebody. So he is Christ. Paul says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's all of the Lord. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. It's his work from start to finish that we believe on him. I have nothing to do with it. Nothing. The fact that I am standing here preaching to people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is so astounding to me, because I'm nobody. And yet God has given us this treasure, Christ, in earthen vessels. Amazing. Now look here at the end of verse 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's not going to lose one of his people. Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. If one is lost, he's going to go find it and bring it home, and there's going to be rejoicing in heaven over that one lost sheep which he found. He will have his people. Now, the gates of hell are going to try. We see, if I can say it like this, we see the gates of hell, so to speak, in false religion. But that's not who the adversary, that's not who he really wants. I'll tell you who he really wants is God's people. He really wants those whom he can't have. And you know what? He knows he can't have them. He knows he's God's devil. He knows he's on a chain, restrained by the Lord. And I was supposed to know that too. Now, Satan wanted Peter. We know this, don't we? I'm going to read it to you. He wanted Peter. Peter here is... The Lord used Peter to record these words. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love that he used Peter to tell us this, because here's what happened to Peter. Satan desired to have him. You remember that? Satan desired to have him that he might sift him like wheat. But Christ told him, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Peter warned us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he tried to devour Peter, but he could not have him. Right here in our text, look here at verse 22. Our Lord had just told them the things that he would suffer, how he'd suffer and die, rise again the third day. Look at this. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But the Lord turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Literally, verses before we read, Peter was told by Christ, you're blessed. Let Peter foolishly say his foolish things. And again, I think Peter meant well. I really do. Lord, no, that's not going to happen to you, Lord. If I can help him, I'll stop it. And that's what he tried to do, you know, cut off the servant's ear, trying to cut off his head. Bless his heart, he tried. He had ambition. But our Lord called him blessed, and then he called him Satan. I hope we see how serious this is. Satan wanted to have him. He wanted him bad. Praise God, Peter wasn't his own rock. Praise God, Peter had Christ as his rock. He had Christ pray for him. He had Christ die for him, put his sin away, obtain eternal redemption for him, bring in an everlasting righteousness for him. That was Peter's hope. And brethren, that's all my hope. That's all my hope. Whom do I say that he is? He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who's my rock? Christ. Christ alone. Upon this rock, God will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen.